Thanks for downloading this podcast, which is for personal use only. All contents are copyright Radio Show Limited and must not be reproduced, rebroadcast, or used in any form without permission. For contact details, go to www.radiolemon.com.
This is Toyota Tech Talk. Hello there, I'm John Hindhoff. RadioLeMans.com has been given exclusive access to Toyota Motorsport, and that means us, and therefore you, get to go behind the scenes to find out what makes this top team tick. Episode 4, Brazil.
The World Endurance Championship on RadioLeMans.com. The world's greatest sports car events connected.
Coming up, Anthony Davidson on what he's been doing while the cars have not been on the track. Matthew Linnell has our engineer's view of the challenges that the Interlagos circuit bring when setting up a car. And as a little bonus, we'll be looking forward to round 5 of the FIA World Endurance Championship with one of the Toyota team drivers who have a unique perspective on the Austin track, having already raced there in the past. The Toyota team were in good spirits after free practice 1 in Brazil. Anthony Davidson in the Singleton number 8 Toyota TSO30, having not only taken the fastest time in the session, but also beaten last year's pole. Team manager Pascal Vasselon, particularly pleased to be back motor racing.
It was looking like ages since the last time we went at the racetrack, so yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to be back as well in a sprint race, because it's a different exercise. With maybe a little bit more importance in the qualif, a little bit more importance in pure performance. So it's very nice exercise, and we are looking forward to it. Yeah. This car has a very different bodywork, front, rear. This bodywork has been defined by our aerodynamicist even before Le Mans, but then we have to design it and to produce it. So all came together. Basically, production has started just after Le Mans. We have done a very short test in Lausitzring, 2 days, just to check mainly the aero figures, that they were what we expected, and they were exactly what we expected. Then some setup to make sure that we are on top of the consequence of this new aero package on the mechanical setup of the car, and then that was it.
And looking further forward through the season, the number 8 car now will be your one bullet. You only have the one chance. It makes life very difficult for the drivers and for the team.
It's a little bit more difficult. It puts more pressure on the drivers, on the team, but we are getting on quite well with that. And yes, it's our challenge. We were running a little bit late for our 14 project, and we could not afford any additional delay. We definitely want to roll out the new car beginning of 14, and we cannot delay anymore. That's why at some point we had to make a decision to make sure that the 2014 car is not compromised, because we don't want to compromise 14.
And will you be able to do systems testing as you race with the current car, or is it fundamentally different?
Oh, it's fundamentally different. Nevertheless, anything which can be tested in 2013 circumstances is being tested. So, for example, lightweight parts, things like that, which are part of next year development, are being tested. So we have, it's not, it doesn't concern a lot of parts, but it's starting. Yeah. We know which kind of hardware we are going to use. We know that we will have a front motor, a rear motor, and a supercapacitor. So a new system, but clearly an evolution, a clever evolution of our current system. It would not be logical to have developed this system, achieve quite good results, and then move to a flywheel, for example. It would not make any sense. So what we are doing, we believe, is a no-brainer. So front motor, rear motor, supercapacitor, just a step above what we are doing at the moment in terms of energy. We definitely want to step up in terms of total energy, and at some point it was needed to boost part of this energy on the front axle and not everything on the rear axle. For the tires, just the amount of energy, the distribution would start to be wrong, basically.
How do you then decide how to split your resources? Because you have a race team that is continuing to race in a world championship, and you have a development team.
It's our challenge. We have the resources we have. We believe that they are good enough to challenge for the top spot. But sometimes we have to make harsh decisions, and the decision to finally field only one car was one of these harsh decisions, but we have no regret because, yeah, that's our circumstances.
You and the people who advise you and the people you work with must have crawled all over the new regulations.
There is no doubt that we are going globally in the right direction. What do I mean by globally? We go for a fuel efficiency race, which is right. That's what will make basically our sport, motorsport, more globally relevant. We go in the direction of bigger hybrids, which is as well basically the way of the future. Then basically the balance between diesel and gasoline, I would say for the big picture, is secondary. It will be a major problem because at some point we need to make sure that things are fair. And that, but in the big picture of the new regulation, it's secondary. It will be extremely important when it is about fairness and allowing these two technologies to compete in a fair way. But it's not the main picture of the new regulation.
And is it important to develop systems, particularly with the HVA, with the hybrid system, that are relevant to streetcar technology?
In our case, I would say the bridges between the road car hybrid development and our motorsport development are very concrete by organization. It means the people you see with our team gear, mainly most of the Japanese one, are coming from the road car hybrid division. And there is a rotation of personnel, so the same people are spending some time in the road car division coming motorsport. So the bridges do exist by structurally, by organization. Nevertheless, it doesn't mean that really the hardware can be used, motorsport hardware can be used in road car. No, absolutely not. What is common is the understanding, the concept, the systems. But actually, a supercapacitor may not make sense for a road car. In motorsport, we need very high power density because the braking is very short. So we have to absorb a huge amount of energy in a very short time. That's power. With a road car, you have to recover less energy in much more time, but you have to store bigger quantity for longer. So in a road car, you will favor energy density. In a race car, you favor power density. So at the end, the understanding is the same, but the hardware at the end is different. One of the key targets of road car hybrids is to be fuel efficient. That's remarkable. The Prius is demonstrating this since more than 15 years. It's very, very economical.
I know we're all excited about 2014, but I don't want to forget about the rest of 2013. And does the rest of the season still provide a challenge for you and for the Toyota team in Cologne?
We hope so. With all the work done on the new package and especially the new bodywork, we were hoping to be closer. It seems today that we are closer. It's too early to be certain, but yeah, it seems we are closer.
You're listening to Toyota Tech Talk, only on RadioLeMans.com. Some real optimism there from Pascal Vassalon, the team manager at Toyota Motorsport, ahead of the fourth round of the FIA World Endurance Championship in Brazil. And the man who had set the pulses racing in the Toyota Hybrid Garage, Anthony Davidson. But what had he been doing since Le Mans?
It was quite a busy summer holiday, really. I did actually find time to relax. I did go on holiday. First ever flight for my little one. We went to Mallorca. So that was really good, just for a week. And then after that, it was back to work. I've had Budapest, the Grand Prix with Sky. And then, we had the last race in Spa. I've done a bit of Mercedes simulator driving as well. I've been to Cologne to do the Toyota sim before going to the Lausitzring to do some testing on the new update kit for this weekend. So now I find myself in Brazil, and it seems like the holiday's gone really quickly, but it was good while it lasted.
Talk me through the update kit.
Yeah, basically, as we know, we didn't run the 2013 car with a sprint package, the high downforce package in Spa. We ran it with a Le Mans package, so this is its first outing at a race weekend, and we had to sort of correlate that to the wind tunnel data that they spent in Cologne when we went testing at the Lausitzring. All the numbers matched as good as the it can ever do from wind tunnel correlation, so that was good. So we've arrived here with a really good balance in the car straight away. We know where we are, and all the data matches what we found at the Lausitzring as well, so that was a good place to go testing prior to here. But the team, yeah, have been cracking on, working hard, and I think with what we have at TMG, they've utilised all of the facilities to their best. We knew, based on the data as well, that the car was going to be faster than last year. We've squeezed out a bit more power from the engine as well, which we so desperately need. And that sends you up the hill here. You're flat out for such a long drag up that hill that you really need the extra power. It's not much, but every bit will help us here. And then, the downforce is higher with similar drag levels, maybe slightly even less, I'm not sure. But so we knew on paper it should be faster than last year's car, but perhaps didn't quite expect it to come so quickly in FP1.
Just the one car here this weekend, a source of disappointment from us fans, and I sense from within the team as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's not where we want to be. We want to have two cars here, but, you know, it's we're not in that luxurious position just yet. Hopefully next year, all signs are pointing to it being that way. And you get the feeling within the team that it's just ramping up still, and that's a good thing. You know, it's not going the other way. Things are ramping up, and I think they're pretty careful with their numbers, and you know, they know where they are, and the progress is there, so that's good. And I think, like I said, you know, we're doing the best we can with the resources that we have, and luckily, you know, they know their own wind tunnel so well that it only takes a couple of days and bang, you've got the performance that you were looking for. So, you know, we're maximising the time spent in the wind tunnel to the best effect that we possibly can.
Nice to be at racetrack and be behind the wheel doing some, what I would call your proper job. You do a damn fine job on the other side of things, but is it nice being on the other side of the fence for once?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's I love this side of the fence. This is, like you say, this is my proper job. And although I love the TV punditry stuff, it's with the F1, it's, you know, I still love F1. I love talking about it, but driving is where it's at for me, and I'm still just about young enough to to be a full-time driver and doing it at a very high level. So I think people now in the F1 paddock as well are respecting a lot more the WEC championship, mainly because of Mark, a little bit because of Porsche as well, and you get the feeling that the whole championship's just growing more and more, and next year we're already looking forward to it being a super year. So it's really good to be involved in that.
Do you have a little bit more pressure on your shoulders now with you and your teammates just having this one card?
It's funny, before coming here to Sao Paulo, I didn't expect to be within the fight with Audi. I expected, you know, we've been beaten hands down every single race so far this year, and I didn't really expect to be. I thought we were going to be in no man's land between them and the Rebellion, to be honest. So now that we've sort of seen we are in the game somewhere, now I feel that pressure. And now I realise what Alex and Nico and Kazuki, when he joined them for the odd race last year, and now I know what they must have felt like. And it's not nice, you know, two against one. It's not an ideal situation to be in. But like I said before, it's what we have, and we've got to maximise it.
If it happens in the WEC, it happens here on RadioLeMans.com.
Still to come on this Brazil edition of Toyota Tech Talk, exclusive to RadioLeMans.com, Anthony Davidson gives us the driver's perspective of this historic circuit. And we'll be looking forward to round 5 of the FIA WEC at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas, with one of the Toyota team who've already raced there. But first, while some of the drivers have had a proper holiday, for the rest of the crew, it's been all hands to the fore, and not always at the Cologne factory, as engineer Mathieu Lanel explains.
Since Le Mans, we've had Goodwood demonstration, and then we've had a good test with the new package that we're now running since this race and for the forthcoming races. Test went quite well in Lausitzring, did good mileage with Anthony and Seb. And as we saw today, the package is quite promising. So altogether, quite happy.
How important is it to still do real-world testing?
Well, always is, because you can't trust your tools completely all the time. You need to make sure that they correlate with reality. And that's definitely important, at least, you know, to keep track of what you're doing and that it's relevant to what you actually need on track. We've had, for example, in terms of testing in Lausitzring, we've done this test, check the car, get a general feel for the balance of the new package. And then we've had also a simulator session with Anthony, where we prepared the running of today. So on Sao Paulo track with a model based on what we ran at Lausitzring. Anthony was really positive today, saying that the simulator helped him a lot, that it was quite close to reality. So that's this kind of work that we need to do all the time to basically keep track of reality, basically. For this kind of track, for Sao Paulo and the forthcoming tracks, the demands on aero are very different to Le Mans. So it's a package optimized a bit more around higher downforce, knowing that you can afford a bit more drag. Obviously, try to keep the car as efficient as possible. But that's what it is. So basically, the front end is a bit different. Try to basically give you a bit more front end, because you're going to have to carry a bit more rear end as well, rear wing. So overall, you want to keep the balance, but to balance the rear downforce, you need front downforce. So,
tell me about the specific challenges of this track. A lot of people see it as a very quick track, but for the majority of the back of the circuit, it's about grip and mostly about mechanical grip, I would think.
Yeah, it's a bit. You got it right. It's quite a good mixture of the two, because obviously you've got a long reacceleration onto the main straight, and so you do need top speed. You need to be efficient on top speed for acceleration, overtaking, etc. But in all the sector two section, really twisty section, you need to have a really good mechanical grip. Find a good balance between reducing the understeer, but at the same time be able to protect your rear tires to survive on traction and survive the long stints, especially considering the heat and the general high temperatures that we expect here. The altitude is the same for everyone, so we've got to deal with it. But I mean, obviously, in terms of EV, it's not going to affect you too much. It does affect you a bit on the engine, but just like it does for everybody else. So yeah, something we know how to deal with. Today's session was quite good. I mean, we're reasonably confident. We scanned quite a few options on setup, got a good feel of the car, the general balance for qualifying or race balance, what's needed. It's a circuit we've got great memories of last year, obviously our first win, and we'd very much like to repeat that. Feeling so far is that we're pretty much in the game. So,
is there much more to do with this year's car now, or will most of the rest of the development go into 2014?
Well, it's a bit. Some things are transferable to 2014. You know, in terms of systems, in terms of general management of HV, traction control, all this. It's always something we are learning on track and we can apply to next year. As for the high downforce package, this is something that was defined during the season plan already. We don't expect to do big developments during the rest of the races, just smaller ones, more like it. And as for 2014, obviously we're already starting to work on it with a simulator, with just wind tunnel, different simulations. It's going to be a different challenge next year, quite an interesting one. So yeah.
How easy or difficult is it then to keep a focus on this year and this World Championship?
Well, it's relatively easy. I mean, it's this is what we've got to do basically. So. I mean, in terms of developing for next year, we're developing we're starting to develop the strategies. We've got different teams already working on it back in Cologne, and this is something we can be organized to do in parallel with running the race car at the track. Yeah, so far it's been quite a good use of the resources indeed, yeah.
So this Interlagos track, clearly a challenge for both engineers and drivers. And who better to describe those challenges than the man who was fastest in the first free practice session and beat last year's pole time, Anthony Davidson.
Okay, here's a lap of Interlagos in the Toyota TS030. It's a brilliant track to drive on high downforce. You enter turn one, braking just after the 100-metre board, keep the car to the right-hand side, down through the gears from six into second, hug the apex of the left-hander before flicking the car right into second, into turn two, holding second gear, then up to third, a short shift because the kerb on the inside bounces the car to the outside. You feel the boost kick in really strong at this point as the hybrid comes in, flat out around the left-hander of turn three, feeling the boost all the way onto the straight and up through the gears into six again. Eyes to the right-hand side on the straight before turn four. There's a bump in the middle of the track as well where the car's bottom out. Use that as a reference on braking. The car goes a little bit light as you brake. The rear steps out to the right-hand side. Control the opposite lock slightly. Down through the gears into third. Then upshift as well into fourth, just on the exit, as the car's just struggling for traction. But as the downforce comes in, you get a bit more grip, and then you're on your way around turn five. A tricky corner, this one, to overtake cars inside or outside. You're never quite sure. It's a tough one for GT and the prototypes as well to know where to go. You sail up towards turn six as the track climbs and narrows as well at this point. Into sixth gear briefly before going back down into fourth for the brilliant right-hander of turn six. You feel the G-force on your neck all the way through this corner. Feather the throttle, pump it a little bit just to feel where the grip is. Feel the balance of the car at high speed. The only proper high-speed corner on the track, this one. And then you're almost bouncing off the limiter in fourth gear through there on the exit before slowing it down, still turning the car. Really tricky to not let the rear step out on you because of this into turn eight. All over the kerb on the inside of turn 8 as much as you can in second gear before flicking the car into the left of turn 9. Hold the control the understeer all the way through turn 9 as you go down the dip on the track. It tries to understeer away from you, and then right on the exit we get a small bit of boost which flicks the rear out, and you've got to control that as well. The TC not working great on that part of the track as the car's so heavily loaded. Up through the gears again into fourth before back down into second or even first depending on the grip levels into turn 10. A really sharp right-hand corner, but somewhere where the car feels great on the exit, you get another good boost from the HV, and the traction struggles a little bit on the exit there as well as you up and over the crest and then hold it flat out just about around turn 11. Again, another really difficult corner to judge when you're behind cars or in a traffic situation, but keep it flat when you're on your own all the way around the corner. Keep the car to the right hand side before braking yet again into the final proper corner on the track at turn 12. Now this one's really important to carry that momentum all the way up the hill. Don't forget you've got that long drive all the way up around turn 14 and 15. So second gear is what I've been using today. Maybe as the track rubbers in, you'll get extra grip. You might be able to hold third through there. But the H3 again boosting phenomenal amount of power on the exit of there. You feel it more here, by the way, because of the high altitude. The engine struggles under the high altitude, but the boost stays the same. So that's where a lot of our advantage comes onto that straight. Once again, feeling the G-force build up on the neck all the way around the double left before coming back onto the start-finish straight.
The FIA World Endurance Championship. Exclusively live on RadioLeMans.com.
So the aerodynamic updates had clearly put the TSO30 right back on the pace at the head of the LMP1 field. But the result that Toyota had hoped for, and frankly the race that we had been expecting as spectators, never materialised. After just 34 minutes, a brush with an LMP2 Lotus sent the number 8 Toyota into heavy contact at the outside of turn number 3. And despite the best efforts of driver Stefan Sarrazin, the car couldn't be driven back to the pits and so was out on the spot. The good news is that by the end of the 6 hours of Sao Paulo, the car was pretty much back together and ready for its next challenge. That is round 5 of the FIA World Endurance Championship and a brand new circuit for the series, the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. And at that track, Toyota driver Stefan Sarrazin has an advantage on his teammates and indeed most of the rest of the field.
Yes, I know the track. I was in a few months ago with the DP. I finished fourth there. We did a good race for 8th start. It was great. In fact, it's good for me because when you know track, it's easier, much easier. Even if it's a different car, DP is much slower. It's still fast car, powerful car. So it's immediately I think I will be on the pace, and it's very good. I'm lucky because I know track, and I think I'm only one maybe to know the track. So it's really good. It would be better if we do directly the race without testing, but but all my friends, they will be they will learn very quickly tracks, you know. But when you did a race in one track, you know when you where you can overtake, where it's tough, so it's experience, and it's all the time very positive. Yeah, I like this track. After turn one, after the A-pin, it's a very fast portion of corners, very fast, with a crest on the last one, on the last left, and it's challenging, and with our car, it will be amazing. With the Toyota, it will be just incredible. So I'm excited to go there, and it's a good choice to go there. It's a long straight line, big braking for the overtaking, so for the spectator also, it will be great. I think it will be exciting for everybody. It's a very high speed corners, also A-pin, big braking, so we have to be very stable on braking, but a straight line a bit too long for us, I would say. We'll see with Audi, but a new package aero is very good. It's a good area, I think. They like the racing, they like cars, bike also, it's a MotoGP there, so yeah, it's good for us, it's good for the WEC to go on new track. It's a new challenge for everybody. All the drivers, I think, we like the track. It's a very cool track.
Full, live, uninterrupted coverage of every session of the fifth round of the FIA World Endurance Championship from the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas, only here on RadioLeMans.com, which is also where you'll find the next edition of Toyota Tech Talk.
Hear the World Endurance Championship when you want it. Every moment of the season is waiting for you at www.radiolemans.com. So if you missed the race, want to catch up with practice, qualifying, and our behind-the-scenes interviews and chat, head to the WEC archive section at www.radiolemans.com. Radiolemans.com, the home of endurance racing. This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, go to www.radiolemans.com. Radio Show Limited. We talk to the world.